watch last night.
Appreciate everybody being in the meeting house. I trust the Lord to speak to us again tonight. Appreciate the spirit of the meeting. I tell you, you kids, y'all just a blessing marching around here.
Amen.
Brother Tim, before you got to come to camp, amen, Brother Harvey that I preached for, probably heard me mention, or Brother Tim mentioned Brother Harvey I preached for many years in Pennsylvania. He used to sing that song, you know, may march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, and shoot the artillery. And the last verse, he'd take off running around the tabernacle. The kids would be chasing him. Amen. Every year, he'd get slower and slower. And hallelujah. But I tell you, it's a blessing. Amen. Thank God. I appreciate you children. I appreciate you mommies and daddies. Amen. Appreciate everybody being part of the meeting. And it's good to be here tonight. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Lord's help, and we'll preach sobering thought tonight from the Scriptures. And I trust the Lord will help us, amen, as we look in the Word of God, Matthew chapter number 7. Look at verse number 21. If you're physically able, we'll stand. Out of respect and reverence for the Word of God, Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. The Bible says here, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Father, we do ask you, Lord, that you'd help us tonight in the meeting. Lord, thank you for the good songs of Zion, that you reminded us about Calvary and the work that was done there.
Right.
And Lord, not only that, thank God, there were several songs that reminded us that, Lord, we're going to soon be pressing into that heavenly land. And thank God for that. This world's not my home. And Lord, you put a longing in my heart to hear that trumpet sound. Lord, I don't know, Lord, if I'll be enjoying judgment at the judgment seat. But Lord, I sure long to see your face. And the wickeder this world gets, the less I feel at home here. And so, Lord, I'm glad you made us a heavenly people and with heavenly promises. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless each one tonight in the meeting house and convict the lost and save them for Christ's sake in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Here in Matthew chapter number 7, this is kind of a view of what's going to happen one day at the great white throne judgment. As these multitudes stand before God, multitudes of every kindred, every tribe, every nation, and many of them, amen, have some form of religion, no doubt. Many of them are some kind of denomination. And unfortunately, there are many of them probably that are Baptists. They have sat in Baptist churches and heard the Word of God and professed to be saved, but there's no change in their life. For the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Bible says that these are the people here, they claim to know the Lord, but they think they have been judged wrongfully. It seems to me there is some arguing going on. Amen. And so I want to preach with the Lord's help on this thought about the world's greatest argument. The world's greatest argument. First of all, notice in verses 21 and 22, these individuals are arguing about religion. They're arguing about religion. Many of these people that are here, amen, are not the average Joe. They're not the average, what we would call heathen, amen. Many of them are very, very religious. The Bible says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Amen.
Right.
They're arguing about how religious they are. Amen.
That's right.
Listen, the Bible says, why then call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Amen. Look over at Luke chapter number 6. That'd be a good place to start. Luke chapter number 6 tonight. And we see, amen, the vain religion that many people portray tonight. The pitfalls, I call it the pitfalls of vain religion, amen. In verse number 39, the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? I'm going to tell you, friend, listen, there are a lot of people tonight that claim religion and even claim the name of the Lord and claim salvation, amen. They're going to fall into a pit because they've never been saved by the grace of God. The vain pitfalls of religion, amen. Hold your place there in Luke chapter number 6. And let's look over here in 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 17. 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 17. The Bible says, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is brought in bondage. For if they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better, are you listening? It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. You know what that's saying? It'd be better if you never heard.
Right.
Never even known what truth was than to hear it and turn from the truth.
Right.
It's a dangerous thing to sit in a church such as this, sit in meetings such as this, hear the word of God,
right,
turn a vain mind to the things of God, and go out that door, amen, troubled, dealt with, convicted, drawn by the Holy Spirit, and turn from the truth, amen. You may never get to God.
Right.
These are religious people standing here before the Lord.
Sir.
There's Buddhists that were sincere standing before the Lord. Listen, not ever Roman Catholic, amen, is trying to be a hypocrite.
That's right.
There are some of them faithful Catholics, not many.
Right.
The ones in my family wasn't very faithful, amen. But listen, I'm going to tell you, it's a serious thing to have religion and not have salvation.
Sir, buddy.
And it's those false prophets that it's referring to there in 2 Peter chapter number 2. Listen, they prey on men's souls and they look to lead away. And not all of them's in what we call cults. Mm-hmm. There's people being led astray, amen, by false prophets that call themselves Baptist preachers.
That's right. Right.
These are people that are in the pitfalls of vain religion. Notice not only that, notice in Luke chapter number 6, if you got your place there, in verses 41 and 42, notice the hypocritical judgment of vain religion, amen.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, now come on now. Now people pull this on you, amen, especially when you bear down hard against sin,
right,
and the Word of God. But notice what the context is. He's dealing with the Pharisees and how hypocritical these religious teachers were that did not know God, did not want to know God, and rejected the Christ.
Right.
I see.
The Bible says in verse 41, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Maybe you've been looking for stumbling blocks. You wouldn't think that happened in a small church like this. Mm. Maybe you've been looking for stumbling blocks in this church so you don't have to get right with God. Well, I'm just as good as they are.
Yeah, that's
right.
It.
Right.
Yep.
I've been watching the pastor. I've been watching his family. I've been watching his grandchildren. Whoever it is, amen, I've been watching that family. I've been watching this family.
Right.
Listen, friend, they don't measure up, amen. Listen, friend, what you're involved in is vain religion. I'm not going to heaven because of this one or that one, amen. Listen, friend, I'm going to heaven because I place my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus, and I don't want to be a hypocrite, amen.
Right.
You get so busy pulling everybody's little speck out of their eye.
Right.
I go into the plants. You've been in them. And they got the eye wash stations.
Yeah.
Amen. Especially around the sawmills, amen. You'll be going through there, I mean, just minding your own business, and all of a sudden, all that sawdust falling around, amen. Oh man, it's irritating.
Yeah.
And it just seems like it just gets right down under your eyelid. It's so irritating, amen. But listen, friend, hey, listen, you've got that little speck, amen, that you're trying to get out of somebody else's eye, and you've got a 2x4 in your own eye.
Right.
That's right.
That's what vain religion does.
Amen.
Amen! Right. Hey, you're checking out all the hypocrites, and you're an A number one hypocrite!
Right.
Where was I? Verse 42. Either, how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. Mm-hmm. You'll say, he went out of here calling me a hypocrite tonight. Amen. Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt, notice this, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Mm-hmm. I preached this one time at a church, amen, that was, you would call very separated. In fact, I think they kind of gloried in their separation.
Right.
I tell you what, listen, I don't mind you asking questions. If they're legitimate and if they got the right mode, I don't mind that.
Right.
I try to be transparent as I can, as long as I know you ain't trying to destroy me on the internet.
Yes,
there you go. There you go.
And you're welcome back. Amen.
Right.
That's exactly right, because that's what people do now.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. Listen, when you got people that are so ultra separate, they're always trying to dig and they're always trying to gouge. And how do you do this? And how do you do that? And what's your family do about this and stuff like that? Amen. A lot of them's got an ulterior motive. Amen.
That's right, preacher. Right.
Amen.
Right.
If you're separating, you don't have to toot your own horn. Yeah. Other people know you're separated.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And so God led me to preach that message. Amen. The danger of hypocritical judgment in that church. Mm. It didn't go over too well, but I like it's going over here. But it's the truth. Amen.
Aye, preacher.
Yes. Yes, sir.
We don't need to be hypocritical. That's a fruit of vain religion. Amen.
Aye.
Then notice, amen, verses 43 through 45. We notice not only the pitfalls of vain religion, the hypocritical judgment of vain religion. We notice, amen, the corrupt fruit of vain religion. Amen. Mm-hmm. Notice in verse 43 through 45. For a good tree bringeth forth... notice this, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of the thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of his evil treasure of his heart, amen, bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh.
Mm.
Why don't you enjoy preaching of the Word of God?
That's right.
I know. Listen, I don't know everybody's maladies, even here. Nobody gave me a health report, amen? And some people, amen, you look out at them, amen, and they may not have a pleasant look on their face. Well, they may be suffering a gallbladder attack. I don't know. I mean, and listen, if you're not careful, you'll jump on that. But listen, why do you always come to the house of God with a scowl on your face?
That's right. Yeah. Miserable.
I've not done nothing to you but preach the Bible.
Right.
I don't have an agenda. This pastor's not said, pick this one out and straighten that one out, amen. No, the evangelist, amen, comes in and preaches the Word of God. But listen, friend, he's a specialist. And many times he finds out what the problem is, amen. And listen, begins to preach the Word of God, amen. And it manifests itself.
Right.
Hey.
I'll tell you what the problem is. Vain religion. Mm-hmm. You say, you ain't a fruit expert. I'm going to tell you, friend, you know the tree by its fruits.
See it,
sir.
I know it's an apple tree because it produces apples, amen. I know it's a pear tree because it produces pears, amen. I know, listen, friend, people are sinners because they produce sinful, evil fruit in their right. Lives. Amen.
Sir.
Now, come on, there ain't no visitors here but Brother Tim. He's not a visitor. I think he's part member of this church or something. Amen. So we're not trying to embarrass you in front of anybody, but I'm telling you, friend, I'm talking about the evidence of the corrupt fruit of vain religion. You know the tree by its fruits. Don't you know it galled those Pharisees as the Lord began to expose them for what they really were and what hypocrites they were and what vipers they were and what serpents. You say, my, what scurrilous language, amen. I'm going to tell you what. You're not going to come to God to out your goodness.
That's it.
Right. Amen. Right. And God was trying to get them to see, the Lord Jesus was trying to get them to see that, listen, friend, they were going to die in their sins. They was going to die without the Lord if they didn't get right with God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's not time to pray.
It's good, preacher.
It's time to look up here.
Right.
The preacher's not your enemy.
Right.
Listen, the preacher is not your enemy. The preacher is the best friend you have.
That's right.
There's a few people in here this week's probably been praying for you by name every day this week.
Right.
And I've also been one of them. And I don't even know you that well.
Right.
And I've been calling your name to God.
That's right.
I don't know some of you personally by name, amen, but I know you're his sister-in-law, the pastor's sister-in-law. I know, and listen, so I've been calling your name to God multiple times a day. And I'm going to tell you, friend, you better see that all you have is vain religion. And listen, when you get to judgment one day, you can argue all you want, amen, but he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father,
right,
which is in heaven, amen. I'm talking about the world's greatest argument. See, a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, verse number 43. The Pharisees were those, when Jesus really exposed them, and I don't have time to go through that tonight in Matthew chapter 23. It'd be a good text. But one of the main things they did, Brother Tim, is, for they say and do not.
Yeah, that's right.
They say and do not.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So they're arguing about religion. Number two, they're arguing about works. They're very religious. They have religious works that they have done. Notice in verse 22 of our text, Matthew chapter 7, verse number 22, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name did many wonderful works. The world thought, the church thought, the preacher thought, listen, the Southwide thought, they were wonderful works.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be saved by your works. Faith does produce good works. But works does not save you. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the good works that he produces in our lives once we get saved.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that think because of their good works that they are saved. But listen, there has to be an initial start. Have you repented toward God? Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine? Oh, listen to this. Oh, what a foretaste. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, amen.
That's right.
A preacher. preaching message like this should examine you.
Right.
But it should assure you. There's nothing wrong with taking a good examination.
Right.
We're not preaching to confuse people. We're not trying to get people confused. And I'm going to tell you one thing. There's a lot of people in our churches that's never been converted and need to be convicted. Amen.
Right. Right.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Let me read this scripture to you. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Hallelujah to God. Amen.
Right.
Now notice this, amen. Listen, the function of the law. Let's deal a little bit about works and the law. The function of the law, the Apostle Paul says, is to give knowledge of or about sin, not to save from sin. You say, "Well, I'd like some scripture about that." Glad you asked. 2 Timothy chapter 1.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 9. "Who has saved us." I'm going to slow down here a little bit. "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace."
Amen.
"Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began."
Amen.
Hallelujah, amen.
Right.
It's not our works, friend. So Romans chapter number 3. I think I read Revelation 3:20. Amen. That was just a bonus. Amen. Hallelujah. I've got 50. Amen. I'm losing. I can't even read my own little writing. They say, if you looked at some of my notes here, most of it's verses and stuff like that. If you looked at my notes, see how small I write, amen? And they say that means I'm introverted. Okay, hallelujah. That's so much for psychology, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 3 is what I meant to read, not Revelation chapter 3. But amen, it's the Word of God too.
Amen.
Romans chapter 3 and amen. Verse number 20, amen.
Amen.
"Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Let me go back and read my note. The function of the law, Paul says, is to give knowledge of or about sin, not to save from sin. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified."
See?
That word justified means it's a legal term, meaning to secure a favorable verdict. Amen.
Amen.
But I really wish I could. Listen, I've sung a few solos in my time. I'm not a good soloist. I'm not a good singer, period. But I love to sing about my Lord.
Right.
I'd love, if I had the voice, sister, I'd love to sing, "I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today." Amen. I remember, brother, what was Howard Jewell? Did you ever hear Brother Howard Jewell? I tell you, he'd sing that song. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, it's just like I got a clean slate. It's more than that, Brother David. Amen.
Sure.
Listen, all the sins, Brother Tim, you committed. All the sins you committed.
Right.
All the sins I committed. Listen, friend. Listen, it wasn't just that I got a clean slate.
Right.
It was like I never sinned.
I see.
Amen. Hallelujah!
Amen, preacher.
Wouldn't it be a blessing tonight to go out this place and feel clean for the first time in your life?
Yes.
Feel the guilt of sin go!
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Feel the change.
Hey, preacher. Amen.
Have liberty. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We try to work some people up in the flesh.
Right.
Try to get them to shout. Try to get them to praise God. I tell you, you get a man that's been free from the bondage of sin. Amen. Listen, he's got something to be happy about,
right,
sister.
Right.
Yes,
right.
He does. Amen. I thought I was going to get seized up, amen, until right then.
Right.
Amen. Y'all got all soiled up about something, amen. Yeah. And it got a little bit liberty right there.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm praying. Gosh!
Take it, run, preacher.
It's a legal term. God declares the guilty forgiven.
Hi, preacher. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Sister Amber, we're not working.
Amen.
Do the best we can.
Can't do it. Can't
we're
do
not
it.
Playing.
No,
not playing the piano, playing instruments, singing songs. We can't, young lady, we can never merit God's favor. How could a wretched sinner that's guilty of killing, listen to me, young lady, you'll get this one day, killing the very Son of God.
Right.
Sinners were guilty of killing
that's
the
right.
very Son of God.
Right.
Would you think that'd make God angry?
Oh,
God's angry with the wicked ever.
Yes, he is.
But thank God, Michael, when sinners come through the blood, amen, through the blood,
yeah,
and come by faith unto the cross through the finished work of Calvary, amen, turning their back on their way and coming God's way,
God throws
the gavel down and says, forgiven! Case is dismissed. In fact, we don't have any paperwork.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm not talking about qualifications. That's not what I'm talking about right now.
No.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Thank God, no.
As far as our sins are gone.
Right.
That's right.
God could never fellowship with us.
Right.
If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ being our substitute.
Right. That's it, preacher. That's right.
Amen.
No relationship, no
the
fellowship.
Perfection of the Son of
God. Amen.
Woo! Amen.
Right, preacher.
It's to justify, it's a legal term, meaning to secure a favorable verdict, to acquit, to vindicate, to declare righteous. This is an act of God.
That's
it. It's not something I can do.
No, no.
Now, you know, you come up to this altar, and you know, you can cry a little bit. And Brother David and I, we wouldn't try to do that, but we can declare you saved.
Right.
But the only one can justify you, God.
Right.
Amen. That's the only one can justify you. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. Listen, friend, I like this. Romans chapter. I like all this. Amen. Hallelujah. And look at Romans chapter 8. Look at it, sinner friend. The Bible says, verse 33 of Romans 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hey, more than two of you are allowed to get with me.
Amen.
This... Hey, man, if you want to, this involves audience participation.
Hey, I'll move over here. I'll help this side out.
Woo! Hallelujah!
Amen.
I'm glad I'm just celebrating tonight. Amen.
Hey.
Forever forgiven.
Yeah.
It reaches into me. My sins are cast in to the deepest sea.
Right. Yeah, preacher.
My God.
Amen. That's good.
It's not because I'm a good preacher. I never have thought I'm a good preacher. I just know I am a preacher.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you what. This is a good spirit tonight.
Yeah.
And y'all have had it many times before.
Oh, yeah. Justified. Justified.
Listen, you don't sense a touch from God.
Hallelujah.
If you do, and you spurn Him, listen, may God help you.
Right.
Have preacher. Mercy upon yourself.
Right. Right.
Amen.
It's good.
Amen. It's an act of God. See, justification, that's what Paul brings out. Brother Zach, justification from God's side.
Uh-huh.
Paul brings that out in his epistles.
Right.
And then James brings out justification, how man sees it.
Right.
Because it produces good works.
Sir.
You say, well, you don't think I'm saved. You don't think some people are saved that do this or that or that. I'm not the judge. But see, James says, and we're going to deal with that in just a moment, amen. James says this faith produces works.
Right.
Amen.
Sir.
That's how man knows that you're justified.
Sir.
That's the reason it's important you live clean.
Right.
Amen. I don't want nobody to mistake me for a lost person.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
I really don't.
Sure.
Amen. My attitude sometimes not right. A lot of times not right. Amen. But listen, friend, I want good works to be produced so man can recognize that God has justified me. Amen.
Sir.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about they're arguing about good works. Mm-hmm. See, true faith, get this statement, true faith will produce good works. Now, I don't have time to exegete, amen, James chapter number 2. Brother Tim will come and be fellowshipping with you, and no doubt he can deal with some of that. But in a message, unless you take that text, you don't have time to deal with that, amen? But look at just a few of the scriptures in James chapter number 2 and verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? Now don't get confused there. It's talking about that kind of faith. What it just mentioned. A faith that does not produce good works. Can that kind of faith save him? Here's the answer. No!
Right.
It cannot. A faith that does not produce any good works in a person's life is a spurious faith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is a vain hope. Amen.
Sir.
Right. Getting a little ahead of myself, but that's all right. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and fed. Wouldn't that be something? Mm. If Brother Zach come to visit me, amen, I socks, amen.
Praise brother.
What if you come and visit me? I say, I want you to come and preach for me on the radio, my 20-watt radio station. Brother Tim's preached on it before. Amen. I want you to come preach on my 20-watt radio station. Amen. We're reaching millions with 20 watts. And you come, and I don't preach. And well, what if I did you like that one fellow one time? He invited me to come preach on his station, big station, was that over there. Amen. And then I get there, he tells me that I need to pay the bill. Then he takes 15 or 20 minutes. Amen. Leaves me 10 minutes. Mm. He's just getting me to pay his radio. That's nice. I didn't want, well, if I did that to you, amen. And didn't even thank you for coming. Didn't even give you a piece of money. Didn't even have my wife and girls fix you a good meal and just sent you on your merry way and said, be warmed and filled. Hey, that wouldn't be too nice, would it?
No.
That wouldn't be good works.
No.
He says, amen, listen, friend. He says to this man, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. I'm not preaching that faith does not, saving faith does not produce good works, but if you're thinking that just works like these people were arguing about, prophesying in your name cast out devils, in your name did many wonderful works, and Lord didn't know. Didn't we sing, Lord? Mm-hmm. Didn't we pray, Lord? Mm-hmm. Didn't we take up the offering? Mm-hmm. God's looking for one thing, and that's saving faith. Yeah. It's produced by repentance.
That's right.
Toward
good.
God.
That's right. It's good.
True faith will produce good works. I just read James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. Hey, listen here. Say, man, God takes the initiative and provides the means of justification through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In Romans 3:24, amen. Now hang with me now, amen. I'm trying to wrap this thing up and put a big bow on it, amen. Notice what it says here. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, amen. See, the sinner who believes in Christ receives God's gift of righteousness. Romans 5 and verse number 17. Notice what the scripture says, amen.
Right.
For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. Notice the sinner who believes in Christ receives God's gift of righteousness, which then enables God to pronounce him righteous. Amen. See, they're up there arguing about all the works that they've done. Didn't we preach, Lord? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we cast out devils? Did we not do many wonderful works? But he's going to say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He calls their works, works of iniquity.
Right.
That word is it implies illegality, transgression of the law, unrighteousness. In other words, let me put it plain and simple. Any good work that a lost person does is sin in the sight of God.
Right.
I was trying to get some people in my family here this week, and I love it. And I don't even want to try to put stuff on the radio, amen, because some of the messages I preach go on the radio. I'm not trying to embarrass people.
That's right.
I want to tell you what, friend. There's a lot of people in my family, your family, that think their good works, that they're going to measure up, and their good's going to outweigh their bad, and when they get to heaven, God's going to slip them on in because they were just so good, and nothing could be farther from the truth. Amen?
Right.
The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. They're arguing about, listen friend, they're arguing about works, and they're arguing about religion, and then they're arguing about their professions. Mm. Many will say to me in that day, these people profess to know the Lord. Now, I'm saying something tonight. I'm not trying to necessarily point you out, necessarily. But I'm not talking about anybody out this room.
That's right.
Good. This message, it's going over there, amen. Whoever you are, amen. If it touches your heart, praise the Lord. But primarily, this message ain't for nobody else outside this room. We ain't picking on you. We ain't pointing you out necessarily. There are people in this room that have made professions. And they think they know the Lord. Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord. We've done all these things. Don't you know us, Lord?
Right.
These people profess to know the Lord. Some of these people make professions in Baptist churches. But notice the Lord's profession to them. They profess that they know the Lord. Many will say to me in that day, but in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew.
Hi.
Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew. The Bible says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him.
Right.
Being abominable, disobedient to every and to every good work, reprobate. So here's kind of the progression. Here's how this is all seated in order. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. For many shall say in me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name did many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I left out verse number 13 in Revelation chapter 20. See, gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And every man was judged according to their works. In Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, verses 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You'll stand there one day arguing before the Lord. Lord, I know you, Lord. I know who you are, Lord. Look at all the things I've done. He'll say, I don't know you. See, this is the judge. Look at the judge. He has a sovereign right to judge. Because the Bible says that God has committed all judgment unto the Son. John 5:22. He has a sovereign right to judge. Number two, he has all the evidence. The Bible says that the books were open, amen. These are books of evidence. Evidence against you, amen, that are lost. And he's got all the evidence.
Right.
And number three, he cannot be bargained with. The Bible says in Genesis 18, verse 25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He's going to do right, my friend. The truth really is, I've entitled the message, Brother Tim, The World's Greatest Argument. But when you get down to it, and they plead their case, there will be no argument.
That's right.
Because, Brother Zach, you started out this meeting by saying, quote, everybody at the great white throne that has argued their case and pleaded their case, they're going to know he's right.
Right.
And they're going to fall on their knees and they're going to confess him as Lord before they're cast, right, literally hurled into the lake of fire and hell. Serious thing, friend. There'll be no argument. For then while I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Does he know you tonight?
That's right.
Is your name written there? And the pages were white. You just made some profession. Is there any joy? Has there ever been any joy of salvation since you made your profession? I'm going to say this. If you've made some profession at some age and you can't remember nothing about it, I wouldn't die and go out in eternity with that. I just wouldn't.
That's right.
I would not die and go out in eternity with that. I'm going to tell you what, you can be saved and know it.
Amen.
Amen. You know, them preachers have got to work it out with God. But I know people that claim to be that preach for years on four-year-old professions. That's between them and God. I know that's on right there. That's between them and God. And I said it. It's between you and God. Amen.
That's right.
But I couldn't list you five things I did for sure when I was four. I probably got whipped. Amen. But I couldn't list you four things that I know I did when I was 4 years
that's
old.
That's right, preacher.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, friend, it's more serious than that. You better know your sins are forgiven. And then, you know, when you get up here and you sing those songs and you sing about redemption and you sing about Calvary, our little sister there last night, amen, she sang about that woman at the well. Her heart overflowed, amen. Hallelujah. And really, she ain't been saved that too many years, amen. And listen, thank God. God had mercy on you, amen. And you may have professed before to be saved. But thank God, I'm glad she got in, amen.
Right.
And you can get in tonight. You don't have to go out the way you came in. You can be saved by the grace of God.
That's right.
Amen.
You say, Brother Rose, I like them messages you preached first the week, amen. But you know, now it's gotten down to the church. God's had us dig in a little bit deeper. Try to help you. Help this church. And God can help you tonight as a sinner.
Amen.
He's done all he can do. He died on an old Roman cross. He rose again the third day. He sent the Holy Spirit to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's dealt with some of you this week. And really, it's in your court. I've watched the Holy Spirit deal with some of you. Two of you, I know. And I'm not, you know, you say, well, Brother Rose, it's not a large crowd. You're embarrassed. I'm not trying to do that.
No.
But I've watched the Holy Spirit deal with you. And I, listen, God's been dealing with you a long time.
Right.
Why don't you come to Jesus and get your sins forgiven?
Hey, my preacher.
Where is he? 233.